Well, good morning, everybody. It's nice to see you. It's wonderful that the weather has turned a little bit, isn't it? Last week was very cold. You wouldn't know anything about it because you were somewhere off. You were in Cape Town. Was it cold in Cape Town? Oh, I'm telling you, it was colder, yeah. How many of you believe it was colder, yeah? Yeah, you see. You missed out. Shane, my son, Michal, played rugby on Friday afternoon, and Rian Van's son also played rugby, and me and my wife, we were standing next to the field, and I tell you what, the temperature must have been close to zero, especially if you take into account the wind chill factor. It was freezing cold, and I just thought to myself, man, I'm so blessed that I don't have to play rugby barefoot anymore. All right, before we start with today's message, I'm going to call forward Stalios. Stalios, would you come and join us, please? Now, Stalios doesn't necessarily need any introduction because, I mean, if you take a look at the man, you can't really miss him, can you? How's it, Stalios? How are you doing?
All right, Jan. Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
I am aware that Stalios shared one or two things with us last week. But you know, Stalios gave me a Word document with his testimony on. And I went and I read through his testimony this week. And you know what? I was so blessed by what the Lord has done for this man and what the Lord is doing in his life right now that I felt that we really need to share what God is doing with you. And let me get you to understand something. The reason why we allow personal testimony at these meetings is not so that anybody can look good. It is to give glory to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You have to understand something. The Bible says you will overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Right now, I'm in a series where we're discussing the weapons of every Christian in the war against evil. Now, one of the weapons that God has given this man is his testimony. What the Word of God says is every time he shares his testimony, when he is not afraid to tell people what Jesus has done for him, then a weapon is released against the evil one that gives him the power to overcome. How many of you would like to help him today to overcome the evil one? Just wave at me. All right, so give him the opportunity because today he's going to use the weapon that God has given him and the devil is going to have the migraine of all migraines by the time he's finished. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Well, bless God for that. Stalios, how long ago did you start coming to these meetings?
I started coming last year, August, with my wife and my son.
Okay. Now, there was an interesting story behind how you got to these meetings. I would like you to share with these people because I gather from your testimony, you weren't really a church man, were you?
Not at all, not at all.
Oh, okay. So share with them how you happened to, how did you end up at one of our meetings?
Okay, well, a little bit of history about myself from my past. I wasn't a very nice guy. I've got some friends that will vouch for me.
No ways, you're joking. I mean, he looks like such a lovable oak, doesn't he? Yeah, for those that can't see him, I'm being very sarcastic now, right?
I was involved with the Hells Angels. I had a brothel. I had, I was a non-believer. I was a serious antichrist, to be honest with you. Yeah, it's quite difficult, you know, I used to go to church. We go to church just to show face. I used to walk into a church. People all of a sudden, who's this guy coming in now? You know, here comes the devil. I used to get called that pretty often. I used to enjoy it.
They used to call you the devil?
They used to call me the devil.
And you were proud of that?
I used to be proud of it, yes.
Wow. Now, there's a first.
I can actually bring George up, if you don't mind. You can actually vouch for me, because he was one of them calling me.
Georgie, there. Come here. Did you know this man in his dark, dismal past? All right, tell them what type of a person he was.
As he said, the devil. Just in with clothes, that's all.
Thanks, George.
No, he was. He was unsaved and hardcore.
Thank you, George. George is a man of few words, but there you have it. He was the devil. I'm sure the devil right now is complaining and saying there can only be one of me. But we all understand what they mean. So what I gather from that, Georgie, from what you said and from Stelios, what you are saying is you were a fairly unsavory character. Is that a nice way of saying it?
That's correct, yes.
All right. I noticed that you said that you had a brothel.
Yes, I did, yes.
I mean, that's quite scary. I see all the men there just grabbing hold of their wives while you were talking like that. That's in your past, eh? I mean, that's...
No, that's gone.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay, Stelios, so we get the idea. You came from the very wrong side of the track. You were brought up probably in a bit of a different culture. Your culture was all about fighting and roughing it up and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that was my martial art background. I did a various martial arts for over 30 years. The last 2 weeks have been quite phenomenal, yeah, for me. Releasing a lot of stuff that's not meant to be in me.
You used to fight at the drop of a pin.
Correct.
Am I right?
Correct,
I mean, it didn't take much to get you charged up and ready
to get angry, not at all, no.
Beat somebody up. And I mean, look, I mean, he's not the smallest oak. Now, you take his size and you give him 30 years of martial arts. I think he was quite a formidable foe. There's probably quite a few oaks there in the East Rand with broken bones that can testify, eh?
Yeah, many, unfortunately. Even up here in the South, too.
That's it. Good. All right. For those of you that are a little bit worried, he is saved now and things are changing in his life. So you can shake his hand this afternoon and say goodbye to him. All right. Okay, Stelios, how was it that you got to these meetings?
It was a Sunday afternoon. Wasn't having a good day, or Sunday morning. I was fighting with my wife, my son. And my son, me and George are neighbors. We close by each other. And my wife says, look, I've had enough of you. I'm tired of you. I'm going to take my son and we're going to go. I didn't stop her. I didn't fight her. I said, well, goodbye. I didn't mean anything. I just said goodbye. I had no feeling lost. I had no... And then I ran the bath and then my wife says, she started phoning me. She told me where she is. Didn't answer. I got about 30 calls. So finally I answered and I said, look, what's wrong? What do you want? I thought you were going. Leave me alone. I don't want you anymore. And she landed up by George and Diane. And then George phoned me and says, you get Diane now. So I tell him, yeah, well, I get there when I get there. You know, I got no stress on the issue. And as I walked in the gate, it's the very first thing he says, here comes the devil. And I started laughing. You know, we go back to that thing again. Okay. And he said, today is the day, it's enough. He says, on Wednesday night, I'm taking you with me. So I tell him, taking me where? I've got a school I'm running. I've got to teach students. I got no time to go anywhere. What is the...
All right, so I just want to, just to clarify for the people, at this stage, Stelios was still a martial arts instructor and he had his own martial arts school, am I correct?
Yes, I had four schools going at the same time.
You had four schools going, yes, you were a busy man, eh? All right, and so now, yeah, you get this invitation from somebody to take you to church, which is a place where you normally didn't feel all that welcome.
Not at all, no.
All right, and now, what is going through your head when you get this invitation?
I think to myself, geez, what's going on now? Why must I go to church? You know, I say, eventually, after about 3-4 hours of fighting, arguing actually, I folded and I gave in. I cancelled training in the school on the Wednesday night because I didn't know where Rion in the ministry was. And I followed George.
I just want to... You see how God works. I mean, this like he's got four schools. He doesn't really want to go to church, but for reasons he can't understand back then, he decides to take the Wednesday night off and close his schools so that he can go to church. How many of you know God was very busy with him even though he didn't know all about it? Yeah, give the Lord a big hand. All right, so Stelios, you made a commitment and you came to one of our Wednesday night meetings. For those of you that are new to this ministry, we used to have these meetings that we have on Sunday mornings now. We used to have them on Wednesday nights. And so one Wednesday night, Stelios comes and visits. Stelios, tell us about that first night.
Okay, the first night I arrived at outside the ministry, I got this terrible feeling in my heart and something telling me, get out of here. You don't belong here.
It was almost... for those of you that don't know how this stuff works, it was almost as if something was communicating with you, giving you like 101 good reasons why this is not for you. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay.
A bit more than that.
Good.
And then my wife started telling me, let's get out of here. I'm not welcome here. They're going to laugh at us. Then my son started crying, moaning. I saw Rian outside. I don't know who he was, the minister. He came and laid a hand on my son. Probably said a few words. My son turns around to me, says, Dad, it's cold. Please come inside.
Somebody praise God for children. Amen. Amen.
So we walked into the church or the ministry, and I expected everybody to turn around and look at me and go, oh, who's this guy now, you know? I didn't feel that at all. I felt very welcome, very loved. First time in a very, very, very long time. May God bless all of you as well, especially Urian and the team as well.
Thank you. I want to say something based on what Stalios has just said. How many of you know we've all had a past? Just wave at me if you have no past. All right. You jylle skerp, soos wat die Afrikaners sê. You know what? Stalios messed up in his past, but so did all of us. And from a biblical point of view, when the Pharisees were giving Jesus a hard time because he hanged around with prostitutes and he hanged around with sinners, Jesus answered them and he said, listen, yeah, I came to seek and save the lost. And how do I save them unless I spend some time with them? It is a reality. I wish I could tell you that it wasn't true, but what Stalios felt and what Stalios experienced, there are a lot of churches that will not make you feel welcome if you don't fit into their mold. Listen, yeah, the mold of the church is Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not Stalios, it's not me, but together we make up the church. If somebody walks through the door and he looks a bit different, that doesn't mean he doesn't belong, because he belongs to God. And who are we to judge somebody based on how they look, the language that they use, etc., etc.? Rather have them come and God have the opportunity to touch and change them than chase them away, because then they will never, ever change. And so, yes, I agree with Stalios. It's wonderful that he could go to a place where I'm sure the people thought to themselves, wow, you know, who's this oak? But at least everybody made him feel comfortable. Nobody judged him. Nobody gave him a hard time. And that opened the door for God to begin to speak into his heart. And Stalios, did the Lord speak to you that night?
Amen. Yes, he did. Amen. He did. Got a big wake-up call there. I was going to actually leave after the service, and George told me with Fernando, now you must stay, you must go for prayer. I say, oh, I don't need prayer. What do I need prayer for? He says, no, come for prayer. It will help you.
Before you go to that, in your testimony that I read, you were sharing with me that while you were, in fact, Prozi was saying that he remembers you quite vividly that night. You didn't even sit down. You were sort of standing there at the back, like with your hands, your arms folded.
Yes,
and you were
attacking
like,
mode, yes.
Yeah, you were in attack mode. And so I was preaching. I don't know what I was preaching, but what happened when the Word of God began to fill you? Just fill the people in what you felt, what you experienced.
My experience the first evening, or I experienced it every day of my life since then, is there's a serious weight being lifted. The first night I felt like maybe 100 tons just being off my chest. And something just kept telling me, don't worry, you are safe. Because all my past, I've been trying to fill a void. Until I came to the ministry, the void has been closed. Bless God for that.
Amen. And you said in the testimony that it was quite amazing, because whatever it was that the Lord was sharing that night with the people, it was as if you were the only person there and those words were meant just for you. Am I right?
That's correct, yes. The whole service felt like I was just being pointed out. And whatever Rian said, you know, it's you. And I thought, you know, you get that guilt look and the guilt conscience. But something just kept telling me, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry, this message is especially for you.
And so then we began to pray for people, and you came forward for prayer.
Yes, I did.
And what happened?
I started seeing people fall all around me and manifest and all sorts of stuff.
So you saw your first demons pop. How did that make you feel? It wasn't the first time.
The first time I saw something like that, I was also involved in witchcraft and stuff like that. And we had just to attract them into people, never mind chase them away from people.
Oh, okay, so this was the first time you saw the other side?
The other side of it, yes.
So you've seen the devil do his thing, and now the first time you saw the Holy Spirit do his thing.
That's great. Yes.
And how did you feel inside when you saw that?
I was very afraid, to be quite honest with you.
You lie.
No, I'm serious.
A big man like you?
Oh, yes.
A martial arts instructor?
The reason why I'm telling you that, because I just felt there comes a big hiding, and I don't know why it's coming.
Somebody give the Lord a big hand, please. Now, Stalios, by now you probably know what I'm saying is true, but the fear that he was feeling was not his fear. There is a scripture in the Bible that's a very good passage of scripture. It says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. Every devil in you was freaking out because they knew what was going to happen.
Oh, I believe that, yes.
Amen.
I
truly
believe that.
All right, so we prayed for you. What happened?
When I came up, you told me, lift up your hands. And you told me, don't tell me anything. You just asked me to tell you what I see. I told you, well, at the moment, I just see darkness. I don't see anything else. I just felt something coming, hitting me on the back of the head, like a naughty child, you know. And then you told me, look nicely and what? Tell me, what do you see? Then I saw the most beautiful sunrise I've ever seen. And then Rion says to me, do you see it? I tell him, yes, I do. He says, well, there's a new beginning.
Amen. God. Amen.
And then it was like somebody hit me with a baseball bat and I was on the floor, and a couple hours later I get up and I think, I feel better. I feel so good. I feel alive. I feel regenerated.
When, Stalios, when you went down and you were on the floor, can you give them an idea of what you felt, what you experienced while you were there, or can't you really remember?
The only thing I remember is warmth and love flowing into my heart.
Ah, like waves coming over you, yes.
The living waters, yes.
The living water of
God. And things just leaving, you know, because that's a weight now being lifted off my shoulders, off my chest, off. And my eyes are being opened slowly and showing a new path in my life. Bless God for that.
Now, there's quite a few people here that know him. George knows him. Obviously, his wife lived with him for who knows how long, so she knows him. I did share this last week, but last week our recording only recorded for 30 seconds, and then it decided to stop. So I'm trusting that it is still recording there. But I got a phone call towards the end of last year from a lady in Springs. And I didn't know who this woman was, and I don't know where she got my phone number from. But she said to me, are you Pastor Rion? I said, yes, I am. She said, sir, I would just like to have a moment of your time. And I said, okay, what can I help you with? And she said, there is this gentleman that I know. His name is Stalios. Now, obviously, that is a name that you don't hear very often. So I knew exactly who she was talking about. And she says to me, you know what? I knew this man. I've known him for a very long time. I've known him when he was young. And I've seen his life. And I've seen his lifestyle. And we lost contact for a long time. And then the other day, I walked into him at a shopping complex. And we stood and we were just chatting and catching up. And the change that I saw in this man is phenomenal. I have never seen anything like this. And she said to me, nobody ever believed that this man would ever change. But the change that I see in him is amazing. And you know what? She just phoned me to tell me what a change she has seen in him. Now, how many of you know that that is godly change?
Amen.
Because a man can hide from you. He can hide things from you for a while. You know, we can put on our little mask, but the mask will start cracking and the truth will come out. But if the change has taken place inside, you can't hide it. Everybody will see it and everybody will know it. Now, I want to end off by just sharing with them what basically we shared last week when we couldn't record it. A while ago, Stalios came to me one afternoon while we were praying for people, and he said, listen, I need prayer. I have to make a decision about my life. I have to decide whether I'm going to stay in this country or whether I'm going to leave. And immediately when he said that, I felt the Lord speak to me in my spirit, and I said to him, I do believe that the Lord says, your job is here. You can't go anywhere right now. Not right now. And God is still busy with you. And we were talking a little bit, and he was just saying that he's confused and he doesn't know where to go and he doesn't know what to do. And as we were busy discussing this, his wife happened to mention, I think it was you that mentioned that he was involved in martial arts. Who?
No, it was Pierre.
Oh, Pierre. You knew that he was involved in martial arts. And somebody, Pierre, probably mentioned that he was involved in martial arts. And I said, oh, okay. That sheds some light on the problem, because through the martial arts, now listen here, I'm not yet to step on your toes. If you are involved in martial arts, learn something from this man's testimony. But martial arts to us in our country is a sport. But where it originated, it is not a sport, it is a religion. Now you have to understand something. The Word of God says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. You know what? You won't be very happy if your wife starts hanging around with somebody else. Now, in the same way, God is not very happy when we serve Him, but we mess around with other gods. To you, it's a sport. To the Buddhist monk that practices it, it's part of his religion. You understand? And I said to him, here's the thing. As long as you are involved in that, as long as you are exposed to that, you are giving the enemy the opportunity to veil you. And when, in other words, a curse will be upon your life. And Stalios, I think we need to quickly show the people how a curse works. Let me get something here. I'm going to get this. I'm going to ask Prozi or Eddie. Wait, sorry, Pros. Eddie. Where's Eddie? Come forward for me because you know what to do. Now, can you all see what I have in my hand? I have a roll of tape. We use this tape to tape the electrical cabling and all of that stuff when we have to leave this place. So it's just a simple roll of tape. But let's just say, for argument's sake, this tape represents God's blessing. How many of you know God wants to bless us all?
Amen.
Scripture says, God gives sunshine to the good and the bad. He gives rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, sunshine and rain is a vivid descriptor of God's blessing, God's providence, God's provision. Okay? Now, would you say, based on that scripture, that this blessing should be available to Stalios? All right. Now, Stalios, take the blessing. Do you notice it's not difficult for him to take it? He can take it and he can make the blessing his own. Right. But now, let's see what happens when he's cursed. Eddie? When a curse comes upon your life, it simply veils you. No curse can remove your blessings. Your blessings will always be available to you, because the Bible says blessings of God are available to the good and the bad, to the righteous and the unrighteous. So the blessing won't disappear, but your ability to take the blessing and make it your own will disappear. Stalios, take the blessing. Okay, open his eyes. Do you notice that the blessing wasn't gone? But because he's veiled, he keeps missing it. There are a lot of people sitting in churches every single Sunday. They can't understand why things don't want to go right for them, because they're trying to do their best. They're trying to honor God. They do what is right. But what they don't realize is that a curse has come upon their life because of probably something similar to what he was involved in. It's been how many... You've been coming to these meetings how many months, roughly? About nine, 10 months. But the thing was still there. Why? Because you have to pray specifically about that rubbish. And I said to him, we're going to pray with you today, and we're going to remove that veil. Stalios, we began to pray. Can you remember what happened?
Well, I just remember you telling me to lie on the floor, and from there I don't remember.
If you look at the size of this man, you understand why I asked him to lie on the floor. You know, let's not be funny. Yeah, he is a martial arts instructor. You've got your third Dan in...
Third, yes. I'm supposed to have my fourth in March, but I pray to God for it, because unfortunately I'm unemployed at the moment due to good friends and family that are supporting us. I feel blessed. I pray to God, because I had to get my fourth Dan in March in China. And as the money came in front of me, it was just taken away. Couldn't understand it. So I said, well, okay, Lord, if it's your will, thy will be done with me. So on the last day, there were people paying for the tickets. They said, you got the money? I told them, unfortunately, no, I don't. So this started a lot of friction between the head of the heads of the system and me. And I said, look, guys, I feel I'm changing. Somehow I can't explain it to you, but I'm changing. And he says, all right, we'll make a plan. We'll get a land. We'll get you the money together to go. I told him, no, don't worry. If it's meant for me to go, I will go. And a very good friend of mine, also a student, he's actually getting his doubts about staying and going. I said, I can't make up his mind. He's got to do it on his own. And he's got to pray for it. On the day they were flying, they offered me a ticket to go. And I told them, guys, I can't. I said, as I'm standing here, I couldn't even move a millimeter forward. I said, I can't. It is not right. A friend of mine has been to the meetings there before. He actually went and sold something very close to him to get me to go to China. And I told him, no. Get your money back. That's not meant for me to go. I said, if it's God's will for me to go and open schools all over the world, by all means. If it's not, I'm not going nowhere. So I think the devil was pointing me in the wrong direction to push me because the words were coming. Go to Greece, go and open a school. We give you the rights for Europe, for Cyprus, for everywhere else. Be our anchor, staying in Europe so we can start. So I pray about it. And then that's when, 2 weeks ago, my wife Litsa came and spoke and asked about it. I was standing at the door talking to somebody there. The only thing I saw was, come here. I thought, oh, here we go. And next minute, he says, no. I say, okay, sorry for whatever I asked for. Okay.
All right. I asked him to lie down because when you pray for people with this type of thing, they often do get violent. Not the person, but the spirit inside of them can get very violent. And we asked him to lie down, and we began to pray with him. And immediately, the moment I addressed the veil, I just said to him, I'm addressing this veil in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I command you to come out of this man. And this very violent evil spirit erupted. And Letza, what did he call himself?
Kwan Kun.
All right. I asked him, I said, who are you? He said, my name is Kwan Kun. And I didn't know exactly who that was because I'd never heard the word before. But Letza immediately said to me, that is the God of martial arts. Am I correct? The God of war. Yeah. The martial art God of war. And so I asked him, I said, listen, yeah, right. So you're with this man now. What are you doing with this man? And as far as I can remember, it said, I'm having fun with him. I'm destroying his life. He's never going to go anywhere, etc., etc. And I'm sure that was quite a shock to you to hear that later
yes,
on.
Yes, it was, yes.
Yeah. So we prayed and we arrested the thing and we commanded it to go. And it told me there's no way I'm going. I own this man. I control this man. Guess what? 5 minutes later, it was gone.
Amen.
Now, I know that we're sharing your testimony, but there was a nice twist to the tale. Come here quickly. I want you to take a look at the size of this oak. I mean, if Stalios is big, then I'm small, that's big, and that's bigger. All right? Now, we have another Rianya. As the spirit manifested through this man and we cast it out, Rian started getting pale in his face. And at one stage he said, I think you just said something is wrong, or what did you say? Yeah, he started saying, I can't move. Now, he was standing close to Stalios when this demon came out. Now, I would like you to just from your side share with the people what you experienced.
Unfortunately, yeah. When we held that man on the ground, I just felt ice cold. And when I stood up, I couldn't really move. I was just like frozen to the spot. And when Rian started speaking to me, it was just this stare that I got, and that's it. I wanted to kill this guy.
You know what? God is so good. I mean, look at the size of this oak. And look at me. I mean, he would breathe on me and I would probably just drop half dead. And he says, something is wrong. He can't move. And then I asked him some question and then this growl started coming out of his mouth. And his eyes were filled with hatred. Now, God, the Holy Spirit, arrested him because the Holy Spirit knew what the devil was planning. And here this man stood. I'm not going to ask him what he weighs, but I'm going to guess it's over 120. It might actually be over 140, but let's just stop there. And he would have charged and he would have punched my lights out, but he was arrested. And then he said to me, I was also involved in martial arts. Yeah, is that correct?
That's correct.
And then I said, well, then the same spirit that popped there is with you. In the name of Jesus, go. Did he leave?
Definitely.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Thank you. So Stalios, isn't that amazing? Through what God did for you, God didn't just help you, God helped another gentleman.
Amen. Blessed be God. Amen.
Now Stalios, you've had a wonderful experience with God. If there is something that you could leave with these people, what would it be? Just off, out of your heart.
Okay, just to show you people how God's changed my life, especially starting in this year. Last year I had over 100 students. January came, I had 3. By March, I had none. Since then, I've been doing Bible study around the world with a lot of people. I'm involved with a lot of people in different prayers. I do Bible studies with firemen. I've been invited to go and do Bible study with them. I've been a friend of mine that was a student of mine many years ago. He became a minister. I haven't seen him in about 5 years. He arrived at my house on Friday. He said to me, he doesn't know why he is here, but he just had to be here. So I said to him, okay, so we just started talking. I started asking him about his ministry, how his ministry is going. He says, yes, I've been on top and I'm at the bottom, but I'm confident it'll go back. I said, yes, I believe it will. And he says, I'm not here for that reason to talk about me. God just, I saw you in a vision and God spoke to me with your face. And the minister he's under spoke to him and says, there's a man you must go and see. He's got to come on a Friday night to testify at this ministry. Now that ministry, they call themselves Christ Disciples. They help the young ladies that have turned to prostitution, on drugs, kids that are orphaned, twilight children, and ex-bikers like myself to find their way back to the glory of God. And I just felt so overwhelmed. I broke down in tears. And I said, if the Lord wants me to go that way, then it's a blessing for me and I will go. And I've just found a lot of doors open for me on a religious sense. And then my cousin's also a minister out in Elspruit. I haven't spoken to since my brother passed away in 88. He gave up on me back then. He contacted me after so many years and he says to me, welcome back to the family of God. And I said, thank you. And he says, go. Because I see you in a ministry, and I told you that before, way back then. And I still laugh at him, and I say, yeah, come on, you know, what do you know? You know, a lot of people out there that are, I feel that are battling. They got a serious veil, and unfortunately, with help like Rian and the ministry and all his team, and people we introduce to the ministry and talk about and give out CDs and stuff, they all come back to you with questions now, because now they're wondering, but how can you believe in something that you can't see? I said, it's easy, it's faith. And I say, through faith, you'll become who you're supposed to be. Amen.
How many of you know that the Lord is good?
Amen.
Aletza, please come stand here with your son.
Aletza.
I want to share with you something that I have shared probably before. This testimony took a little bit longer than what I was expecting. I had a look now and we've already been going 35 minutes. I have an hour to preach, so I'm not going to preach today. I'm just going to do what I believe God wants us to do. Is that all right with everybody else?
Amen.
If it wasn't, I was still going to do it anyway. You understand. So please stretch out your hands towards this couple. This man has given up his life. But then the Bible says we need to lay down our lives for God. Now, for some of us, it's just saying, Lord, come and live in my heart. For some of us, it's giving everything up. This man has given up 32 years of his life, and he's going to trust God now. How many of you know God will not let him down? Please stretch out your hands towards them, and please say this with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we declare today, before heaven and earth, that you are blessed and not cursed. You are the top and not the bottom. You are the head and not the tail. And your Father is well able to provide for every need in Jesus' mighty name. We bless you with peace. We bless you with joy. And we bless you with prosperity. May the Holy Spirit take you by the hand and guide you through life. For your light will bring great victory in this world. Go in peace. Amen. Thank you, guys. Stalios, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I do believe that your testimony is going to touch a lot of people's lives. Amen. Thank you. Because it's along the similar lines, the purpose today was not really to talk so much about this, but I believe his testimony needs to come out because people need to hear the truth. The Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. How many of you know that sometimes hearing the truth is not what you wanted to hear, but it's what you have to hear? You know, sometimes when somebody tells you the truth about your personality or the truth about your situation, it's like, man, what are you thinking? I didn't want to hear that, but that's the only way that you can start moving forward in life. I have often had discussions with Christians about whether martial arts is good or bad, right or wrong, etc., etc. Ultimately, it's not my place to judge any of this. It's for God. But I can say from my personal experience and all the people that I have prayed for over the years, it definitely opens up a can of worms in your life. And it can lead to a lot of destruction. A couple of years ago, I was preaching on a fairly regular basis in a church very far from here. I'm not even going to say the geographical area because maybe somebody will know who I'm talking about, and it's not my intention to upset these people. But I used to preach there once a month. And the Lord blessed us there, and there was a lot of wonderful things that happened there. The pastor there was open, fairly open, let's put it that way, to what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. The Bible says, Jesus is speaking, and he says in the book of John chapter 3 verse 8, the wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he comes from, and you don't know where he is going, and so it will be with each of you when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The wind, who is the wind? The wind is the Holy Spirit of God. He's got three names in the Bible. Besides the Holy Spirit, he is called the breath of the Almighty, and he is called the living water of God. Right? He is also called the mighty wind of God. So in the Greek, the word is pneuma that is used for the Holy Spirit. Now pneuma means breath, it means wind, and it means air. In the Old Testament, the word used for the Holy Spirit is the word ruach, and guess what? It's got the same three meanings, breath, wind, and air. So what God is saying is if we truly want to experience the blessing of God, we must let the wind blow where the wind wants to. Take a look at that door, the door in the front. What do you notice about that door? It is closed. Now, when you close a door, it immediately shuts the wind out. That doesn't mean that the wind stops blowing. It simply means that the wind now has to blow around the building instead of through the building. Now, that might be a good idea if you don't want to sit in a draft, but that is a seriously bad idea when the Holy Spirit wants to move. How many of you know God knows how to deal with people's problems? Stalios probably thought that he had a pretty okay life and that's just the way that it is. You know, a lot of people would say, these are the cards that I've been dealt with and that's just the thing and that I'm just going to have to make peace with this. But God, from the day that God created him, had a different plan for that man's life. But the thing is, the fact of the matter is, the only way that he could get from where he was, stuck in the wrong place, to where God wanted him, the right place, is if something supernatural happened. And I don't mean witchcraft, I don't mean sorcery, I don't mean Satanism or anything stupid like that. No voodoo would have helped him. He needed to be touched by the breath of the Almighty. I want to take you a little back to Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and it was empty and darkness covered the surface of the deep. And the Lord said, let there be light. And God started creating this wonderful world that we live in out of nothing. And then one day, on the sixth day, God had this novel idea. He said, wow, everything looks so perfect. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was somebody like me to enjoy this wonderful blessing that I have created? And it's like Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father are talking and they say, let us create man. Let us create man in our image. Let us give man dominion over the fish in the waters, over the birds in the air, over the animals on the plains, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the face of the earth. And then God took what to create man? God is practical. God takes clay because you can mold it. And the Bible says God molds that clay into whose image? Into his image. How many of you played with clay when you were younger? Right, so did I. In fact, I still like to play with it. Give me half a chance and I'll play with it. It's nice because it's nice to be able to create something. It's always lacquer to create something. But now, when you were younger and you used to play with the clay, did you breathe over it? Of course, while you're busy, you're breathing. But did your breath give life to that clay? No. But the Bible says when God created man, he created Adam out of clay, God breathed into him and he became alive. What is the breath of God? The breath of God is the Holy Spirit. So the Bible is simply telling us the way that Adam went from a lifeless ball of clay to a living, breathing human being full of potential, full of life, is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Hello? Now that needs to happen. Unless the Holy Spirit of God can move through us today, don't expect any change. And the door that I'm talking about that needs to be open is not the door of the church. Yes, it's the door of the church as well, because there are churches in our country that refuse to allow the Holy Spirit in because man wants to control how the meeting goes. I can't control how this meeting goes. The moment you suspect that I control how the meeting goes, please find another place because God can't work. Hello? It must be God doing what God wants, not man doing what man wants. But when the breath of God can flow through you, there was a time in Stalios' life when he was dead. He was no better than Adam. He was existing, but he was dead to the things of God. He was dead to the destiny that God had planned for his life. But there came a day when he took a chance and he went to a church that was a little bit different. He saw meetings that was done probably in a radically... Was the meetings done a bit different to what you remembered? No. You used to go to church before and then that night you came to our ministry. Yeah, completely different. But you see, it will be completely different if God does what God wants to do. In fact, no two churches will be exactly the same if God does what God wants to do. Because there's a different calling on this ministry than what there is on some other ministry. But because he was there where the living water was flowing, because he was there where the breath of God could touch, he got touched. The Bible says God is not a respecter of persons, which simply means that God doesn't have favorites, which means that if God does for one, God will do for everybody else as well. Getting back to this church, this pastor was sort of open to to allowing the Holy Spirit to work and do His thing. Yet, on the one hand, he wanted the Holy Spirit to come in, and on the other hand, he still held on to his traditions, his way of doing things. He allowed me to pray for people in his church, and he brought his daughter that I should pray for her. He said that she suffers from chronic asthma, and please would we pray for her, because he has seen that God has healed some other people there. And I prayed for her, and I remember that night when I prayed for her, something happened to her, and for at least 3 months after we prayed for her, the asthma was gone, and then the asthma came back again. And so a couple of weeks later, he brings her to the front again, and he says, please pray for her because the asthma has come back. And I pray for her again, and the asthma goes away. But the same thing happens. For 3-4 months, the asthma is gone, and then suddenly the asthma comes back. When it came back the second time, he came to me and he spoke to me and he said, listen, yeah, I don't understand this. Prayer is supposed to work. Why is there a change, but the change isn't lasting? And I said to him, you know what? There could probably be many answers, but there is an opportunity. There is a possibility that it might be a curse, and that the curse needs to be broken first before the healing will come. Now, I said to you just now, or I showed you just now, Stalios, when he was not veiled, could take the blessing and make it his own. How many of you know healing is a blessing? Now, some people are veiled, and because they are veiled, even though healing is available to them, they can't take it and make it their own. So you have to remove the curse. Anyway, even though he was open to healing, because healing, that sounds like the godly side, he wasn't too chuffed to hear that I'm saying that his daughter might be under a curse. You know, that was like, that flew in the face of his theology. Because a lot of Christians believe, because I'm a Christian, I am divinely protected against these things and I cannot have these problems. Which is a load of rubbish. The Bible says, give the devil no place. Most of us have given the devil lots of place. So what now? You expected him to just disappear? You know, we live in South Africa. When you allow a squatter to come and squat on your property, you got problems. You're going to battle to get rid of them. Now, that's how demons work. You allow them to come in, you battle to get rid of them. You have to fight them to get them off. They don't just disappear because they hear now God is in your life. Was the devil afraid of Jesus in the desert? Yes or no? No. The devil is very cocky. He's very arrogant. He's very self-assured. He had the, I almost said the word I shouldn't say, the guts to take on Jesus in the desert, and he's got the guts to take you on. And he's hoping you don't know how this stuff works, because then he can get away with murder. But if you start understanding how this stuff works, you will probably begin to live a life of victory. And so, you know what? It took me quite a while to convince this oak that there could be a problem. Eventually he said, okay, it's all right. I must come to his house and then we'll talk about it. And now, how's this? I don't know where he stays, because I've never been to his house. I've always just been to the church. We drive up to his house, and I remember getting out, and I walk to the little gate that opens, that you walk through, you know, like this pathway to the front door. And on the left and on the right, there is a whole massive big collection of fairies. Now, I'm probably going to step on somebody's toes here today as well, but let me just tell you something. That's Koka. You shouldn't have that rubbish. Just like you shouldn't bow to the martial art god of war, so you shouldn't have fairies. Why? Because there are countries where they are worshipped as gods. The word of God says, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. God is jealous. It's like the Christians that have the lack-of-fate Buddha sitting there on the mantelpiece so that they can rub his tummy, and now and then hopefully he'll give them some prosperity. Prosperity comes from God, not from Buddha. Buddha is a thief. Because the spirit behind him is a thief. It's evil. How can you have the Holy Spirit and the evil spirit there and expect to be blessed? Your house is a war zone. No ways. Doesn't work that way. Of course, I had to open my big mouth, and then his wife was highly disgusted with me because it's her fairy collection. How dare I say that this stuff is evil? But it is. And then we had a stalemate. Because now they don't want me to pray for the daughter because I've upset the wife. So I prayed and I said, Lord, I don't know how to sort this out. You're going to have to help me here. Eventually, the young girl, who is the reason we are there, speaks to her mother. And then the mother eventually says, okay, you know what? If this is having any effect on my daughter, it's fine. I'll let it go. It was not the right reason to let it go. She has to let it go because she understands God doesn't want it. We must obey God. But at least it's a start. I talk to the little girl, and guess what I find out? She's seriously involved in martial arts. Knowing what I know, I've already put my foot in it with the fairies. Now I'm going to have to put my other foot in it with the martial arts. Of course, the moment I mentioned the martial arts, the mother was highly upset again. The father was sort of, okay, we'll see where this goes. The mother was like, wah! You know? Claws out, fangs out. And then the little girl did something which was so phenomenal, which her mother should have done from the beginning. The little girl says, Mommy, Daddy, if I have anything that doesn't honor Jesus, I don't want it in my life. I have no problem putting it down and laying it down. And you know what? At that stage, she was the youngest black belt in South Africa. I think she was 10 years old. Stalios will know how powerful she must have been. She was the youngest black belt in South Africa. She went into a room. She took out that white suit, whatever you call it. She took out her belts, all of them, one by one. She threw them down. She took all her certificates off the wall. She had gold medallions, took them down. And she said, I'll get rid of this stuff. They took it outside and they burnt it all. A couple of weeks later, her father phones me. He says, listen, yeah, I need to talk to you. I say, I'm listening. He says, 3 weeks ago, I was ready to kill you. I say, why? He says, because that night, after we burnt the stuff, now I was there when the stuff was burnt. She seemed fine and we prayed for her and everything seemed okay. He says, that night after the stuff was burnt, she got the worst asthma attack she's ever had in her life. We thought she was going to die. I thought, okay, that's weird. He says, but then it stopped. It just suddenly stopped. And she seemed fine. From that day, she's never had another asthma attack. And he says, I've just come from the hospital. Because she had such severe asthma, she had to go every 6 months for a checkup. And then they would adjust her medicine. And they would put her through stringent tests to see how her lungs were doing. They took her. They started doing all the tests. They called more doctors. They did more tests. They called more doctors. They did more tests. Guess what? There was no more trace of asthma in her lungs. It was completely gone. Somebody give the Lord a hand. You see, when she finished burning that stuff, the curse lifted off of her. How did the curse come out? It came out of her lungs. Why? Because it was in the lungs. And that's why she had that asthma attack, and that's why it left that way. What makes sense to us, or what doesn't make sense to us, makes perfect sense to God. Because we are not just flesh and blood, we are also spiritual beings. And some of the problems that we have in life are spiritual in their roots. And you can't pop a billy key and make it go away. You have to deal with the spiritual root. Until you deal with the spiritual root, nothing will change. A lot of us have got spiritual roots that tie us to rubbish in our life. Jesus died so that you can live a life of victory. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. But guess what? Before you can have Jesus' abundant life, you must be willing to lay down your life. The average person wants to give Jesus only a certain part of their life. But the other stuff, no, that's my personal stuff. You can't expect me to stop drinking. You can't expect me to give up my martial arts. You can't expect me to stop looking at women. I mean, you know, that's where Afrikaans also say a man is near clip me. How many of you know there needs to be some change when you give your life to Jesus? In other words, you can't give Jesus only this part and that part, but I like that part and that part, so I'm going to keep it for myself. You are opening the back door for the devil. Guess what? He will nail you. Stalios, you've given your life. Guess what? Your life isn't yours anymore. But in the same way, Fatimaki, You've given your life. So guess what? Your life isn't yours anymore. Your life belongs to Jesus. Now that's the best place for her life to be. That's the best place for his life to be, because now God has to take responsibility for this life. Wouldn't you say that's the best place for your life to be? When we have responsibility of our own lives, we tend to mess up every single day. Better let God take responsibility for your life and see how your life begins to track straight and true, and how change begins to come into our lives. Christianity is all about change. Jesus, the first message that he ever preached, and the central theme running through every message that he preached, was a message of repentance. The first sermon that Jesus ever preached, he said, "Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand." What does repentance mean? Repentance comes from a Greek word meaning a change of mind that leads to a change of attitude that leads to a change of action. In other words, change, change, change. You can't walk around and tell people, "I'm a Christian." People must see it in your life. This is not one of those cases where you say to the kids, "Listen, yeah, don't do as I do as I say." That's hypocritical. That'll never work. When I got saved, when the Lord changed my life, he changed me completely. Most of my friends wanted nothing to do with me after I changed. Stalios has started experiencing exactly the same thing. We were talking about it earlier. Not everybody's happy with his change in his life. There's a couple of people that are a bit upset about some of the changes. And he asked me, "You know, how do you deal with it?" And I said, "It's easy. The people that reject you right now, there's going to come a time in their life when the pauper will hit the fan. And the only man that they'll be able to talk to about it is you. Because they're going to see lasting change and the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Especially if they don't really go to church." I mean, what? They're going to go see some pastor? I don't think so. But they're going to go to the person where they have seen repentance, which means change. Godly change. All right. Guys, as far as time goes, yes, we've been talking for an hour now. It doesn't feel like it, does it? But we have. Which means that I've come to the end of today's message. Next week, in other words, I will be speaking to you on the weapon of God's Word. But today, I won't try and do that because I'll upset half of you and you won't come back next week. So I think for today, you have been exposed to one of the greatest weapons that there is in the kingdom of God. You shall overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. It's wonderful to be in a place where there are testimonies to share. It proves to us that God is real, that God is working, that the Holy Spirit is moving, and that the devil is being defeated. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the power of personal testimony. Thank you that we can hear and share testimonies of what you are doing in people's lives. Thank you, Lord, that we can see in practical ways that the devil is being defeated and that his power truly was destroyed by Christ on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that we can see in such practical ways that you are still the same. As your word says, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The same Jesus that healed the sick, that cleansed the leper, that raised the dead. That same Jesus is still touching people's lives. And Lord, thank you for lives that are changed. Thank you for people that are refreshed and rejuvenated. Thank you for lives that are made whole. And thank you that the enemy is being defeated, just as he was defeated 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Lord, when you shed your blood on that cross, your final words were, "It is finished." Lord, Satan's rule of terror is finished. His power over people's life is finished. And the work of the cross is complete. We thank you for that. We honor you for that. And we bless you for that now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.